size of the control point.
After one, right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. I'm Benjamin, your host of the program. Jake has arrived. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Ben.
And he's ready to go.
I am ready.
He's chomping at the bit.
Chomp, chomp.
If you'd like to chomp at the bit as well, 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. Have you signed up for your health care yet?
We went over this last week.
Is that it? Is still no?
It's still no.
All right.
Might require tasers and billy clubs to get me to do it.
Really?
I mean, possibly.
Did it sit you down at one of the, like, a kiosk somewhere and just beat you in the back of the head and tase you a little bit?
A little compliance massage kiosk.
Right. No, absolutely. It's in the basement of the Walmart out on 50 Highway.
Ooh, they have basements?
Yeah, you never thought about that, did you?
I did not. Now Disneyland has a basement.
Do you know that for a fact?
I have it on pretty good secondhand information.
I'm just saying, you know, have you ever been to the basement of Disneyland?
I would not, to my knowledge.
It's probably for the better for you.
Probably.
Are you happy? Are you happy that things have happened?
That everything's reopened?
I don't know. I mean, are you excited about all that? I know how stressed out you get when there's not authority.
No, it blew right past me. I've been so busy with everything else.
You're really anxious.
Eager. Anxious. Anxious has a negative connotation. Eager. Positive cousin to that word.
The beavers do.
Correct.
Yeah, they stay very eager. Were you bummed out that you couldn't go to the Alamo for the open carry protest?
I was very bummed out. But not that much. No, that's nonsensical. I'm not, protest contest. Is there ever a winner? They're nice distractions. Steam valve releases rarely accomplish anything.
The protests rarely accomplish anything. Do you remember the 99%? Were they occupied everywhere?
Right. I remember.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Nothing's changed.
No, it was totally, something changed, didn't it?
No.
Not a thing? People got to enjoy the park system a little bit.
People did get to enjoy the park system.
People got to camp out and
fornicate
in different ways.
Right.
See, that would be the hard part, I think, of doing the Occupy thing, is that whenever I've spent all day in the park, it's been to drink beer. You know, and maybe that has something to do with why the movement kind of suffered that lung disease and just kind of overall failure.
Yeah.
Because you had to stay focused. I mean,
there's really no clear goal in
a should have been
protest.
Eager instead of intoxicated.
Right.
Not saying that everyone at the Occupy.
No, they mean well, and
X
I agree with
was them. Was intoxicated, but I mean, come on. I know I couldn't hang out in the park all day and not drink beer.
Right.
That's just me.
Or cider.
Know? Well, hard cider.
Or cider.
That's you, man. That's not me.
I am an apple man.
That's absolutely true. There's got to be a protest that's meaningful, that gets things done.
Oh, sure. Personal protests, disengaging, I guess could be considered a form of protest, but, you know, rallies, it seems like getting there and making a sign is the goal. And once that's done, the steam is released, and then people feel good about what they've done, their participation.
Like, protests aren't really effective unless they put fear into the heart of leaders.
Right. Pitchforks and torches instead of placards is the proper way to protest.
See the whites of their eyes.
Correct.
I mean, we don't, you know, come on. When was the last good protest like that?
In America. Shays Rebellion.
So you're putting it like 1795?
Approximately.
Somewhere right around there? It's been a little while.
Right.
That's why I kind of thought it was fun that the Tea Party people had actually put a little fear in the Republican establishment. I mean, if nothing else, I kind of enjoyed that in just kind of an entertaining way.
Right. The Tea Party Occupy dialectic. I'm all for replacing the current paradigm, even if it is another fictitious false left-right deal with new names. I'm kind of bored with the Republican-Democrat argument. If they want to do Tea Party Occupier type setup, you know, I'm cool with that direction, but I still think the act of protesting is a futile exercise.
But what if it's, I mean, You gotta go walk around the park. That could be nice.
No, I love parks.
All right, good. That's what people, I mean, that's what people always say you need to do. You need to organize. You got to get the people in the street.
Right. Organize your own life. You organize your own house. Organize your own family. Then your community. You know, spread it from the center out. So, you know, random marches through parks. Barely organized.
All right. All right. It's always the first reaction that people think they need to do, though.
Right, because it's been, well, and actually that's part of the COINTELPRO program from the 60s when the Vietnam, because usually unjustified foreign wars were easy to manipulate the information when it's just newspapers and Pony Express type delivery systems. But once TV, radio, and, you know, commercial airlines were available, they had to find a new way to redirect or refocus the energy of people who disagreed with it or found out what was going on. And a lot of the, you know, Vietnam protests in the 60s were specifically designed by COINTELPRO as steam valves to let all the people who were hip to the nonsense feel like they were participating against it, yet actually accomplishing nothing. And the precedent was set and the pattern was instilled, and round we go. Where she stops, nobody knows. And 45, 50 years later, a bunch of the same stuff goes on, and nothing gets accomplished.
Not even Adam Kokesh smokes DMT at the Jefferson Monument and dances with...
Not even Adam Kokesh.
He's a fun guy.
He is. His initials are AK. I'm sure he was at the open carry rally.
Well, get your house in order.
Absolutely.
You think about people saying that it might be time for a third party again. How have you heard that before?
It's well overdue.
You heard that?
I think one of the first radio shows we ever did, I thought maybe since Miss America was decided from 50 contestants, maybe we should have at least 50 presidential candidates. Forget a third party. We need like 3 through 50. Go parliamentary style if people want to, you know, still participate within the structure. Have a free for all.
How free?
Right.
Completely free. Well, you know, I mean, clearly the first 500 guys that want to be president have to be disqualified.
Correct.
Maybe the first 1,000.
Could be a cage match, round robin style tournament. Battle Royale?
1, 2, 3, not it. Or something along those lines. Maybe the first 10,000 guys.
The prize nominations? Yeah, if you put your own hand up, you're immediately disqualified. Which, in theory, that's how the nomination process is supposed to work. When you're considered by your peers or your constituents or your, you know, community to be an outstanding, upright, honest leader type, you know, they all get together and say, hey, you know, John Doe is one heck of a guy. Let's send him on the horse to Washington, D.C. to represent us. You know, and they would nominate him. You know, as the constituents, that he didn't join a political action committee and raise $1 billion from corporations and insert himself here. You know, the nomination process, in theory, is far different than what's practiced.
Well, maybe we need a parliamentary system based upon, you know, like straight up corporations. You could have like the Kentucky Fried Chicken Party, you know, the Pepsi Party.
McDonald's.
Yeah, the McDonald's Party.
Have to change your name to Ronald.
That would make things easier. You know what you're actually voting for
right.
at that point.
I mean, because Monsanto.
But you know, I mean, by not having a parliamentary system in this country, do you know how much we miss out on having like truly lunatic fringe parties that have, you know, not only, you know, some sort of organization, but seats in Congress?
Right.
We totally miss out on that.
No, I've played, you know.
Because you know that there's an American Nazi Green Party. Right. And they are right on for the first, like, 10 points on their platform. It's the last two that I disagree with.
Right, the exterminate and the...
Yeah, whole racial supremacy thing. But the first 10 were spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first 10 were really good. But, you know, the American Nazi, you know, Green Party only exists on the internet. I mean, they would probably pull, like, you know, 0.00-something percent and get, like, one seat.
The troll vote?
It'd be, like, Idaho, I think.
Possibly.
Something along those lines. We really miss out on that, though.
Yeah, I've played, you know, a million clips in the suicides of other parliaments worldwide that break out into fist fights.
You mean the Koreans?
The Koreans, the Taiwanese.
I don't know what it is about the Koreans, but they love to beat each other up in the halls of government.
I think it was Syria or Lebanon.
I mean, what was the last whooping in the United States Congress? Do you remember?
It had to be one of the duels out in front of the State
House. That was when Preston Brooks whooped up on Charles Sumner. You know, like 5 or 6 years before the Civil War started. Right. Like literally took his cane down and beat him like a stepchild.
Him. Lashed him. Real good. Was the Syria or Lebanon one of the parliaments in the quasi-Middle East the other day was in a suicide that somebody let off an AK-47 in the chambers and they were considering removing him from his seat for that. Praise be.
Was it President Camacho?
In the House of Representatives?
Yeah, right. Because it should have been. It should have been President Camacho.
Was not President Camacho. But yeah, if we could mix it up like that. Because the Republicans and Democrats are obviously the same.
So what should the third party be?
3 through 50? On the next third party, you got to give it to the libertarians because they've just been trying so hard for so long. Then the Green Party. Yeah, and then 5 through 50 could be.
You think the libertarians get it?
No.
No, not just it in general, but they get the third party.
At least one of the top five.
The Greens in there, and then, I mean, do you think the American Nazi Green Party would make it in the top 50?
Possibly.
Maybe a splinter group of that?
Vermin Supreme.
Yeah, Vermin Supreme. He deserves it, just for having it, just for...
Boot on his head.
Just for his patience.
Right.
And patient.
And his beard harkens back to a day of yesteryear. No, a solid beard and a rubber boot on your head. Why not? Listen, hear him out at least.
How about the... I mean, you know what? Talking about how a protest is just a safety valve, we need some safety valve political parties in this country. That would make things, I think, a little bit better. I mean, you know, if we could have, you know, kind of just get all the fundamentalists, you know, types up and just kind of wrapped up into their own party.
The polygamous party. Now we're talking. The end of the worlders party, the purple Nike party.
Polygamous party just kind of has a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Bunch of peepees.
Just has a nice ring to it.
Idaho and Utah could battle it out for the Nazi Greens and the multi-wife. And then to be fair, we would have to have women with multiple husbands. Those are poly somethings. I gotta look that up.
They're called adult actresses, I believe, is what you call
the bukkake party.
Women with multiple husbands. We need the, you know, some safety valve. Political parties would be good.
And if anybody listening has a good idea for parties 5 through 50, please.
That'd be a really good opportunity. KKFI. Yeah. 931-5534.
I'll sign every one of the petitions of anybody that calls.
Yeah, petitions. Now, there's something. You get behind a nice petition, couldn't you, Jake?
Sure.
Might even be a reason to have a rally, get everyone in the park on the same day. Sign it up. Boom, 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 petition drive. All right, so it is 21 minutes after the hour one. You are welcome to call. I know you're out there, and I know you have ideas.
Oh, no.
For what you think the next party should be.
Guess what the opposite of polygamy is? Now, I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'll spell it.
I think it's called monogamy.
Poly, G-Y-N-Y. Polygamy?
Sure. And that's what is, that's DVDA?
As we learned several weeks ago what that means. And then there's polyandry, which I guess could be a free-for-all.
Well, I mean, if that's the angle you're going to take with your political party, it's going to be really popular, Jake.
Oh, no. Polygamy refers to the practice of having more than one spouse. It's gender neutral. Polygyny is multiple wives, and polyandry is multiple husbands. Pardon me.
Well, thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Wiki Answers.
Nobody out there has got a single idea for another political party, because I think people are starting to realize that it's time for a third political party in this country.
I would join the Anarchy Party, which is a conundrum.
Not a conundrum. But, you know, I mean, I'd love to join the Anarchy Party as well, but they don't have a website and they're really hard to meet up with.
The People Who Hate People Party, like Bill Hicks talks about?
We are coming up on that. I mean, you know, all night dance party.
Right. The ravers.
But, you know, the people, that the talking heads out there are saying that it might be time for a third political party. I mean, it's been a while. What was the last political party to go away and die? Do you remember?
Didn't Roosevelt, the first Teddy Roosevelt, wasn't there? Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
I mean, he ran as a Republican.
But in that originally. Election, wasn't there three parties?
Well, it was the Bull Moose Party.
Yeah. The last one I can think of. Oh, my God. Somebody found a whole list of all of them.
Oh, all the third-party possibilities?
Federalist, the Anti-Federalist. Well, this is in chronological order.
What about the Anti-Federalists?
Ooh, in 1792 to 1824, there was a Democratic-Republican Party.
Right.
That's exciting. There was the Toleration Party in 1816. The Anti-Masonic Party. Oh, I remember that from Riddles and Stone trilogy. The National Republican Party. The Nullifier Party. I'm down with that. The Whigs.
What about the Know-Nothings?
Law and Order Party. Did they have TV in 1840? How did they know? But that's not SVU. Free Soil Party. That's exciting. Anti-Nebraska Party. I would join that one. the American Republican Party, the American Party, the Opposition Party.
Yeah, there you go.
Constitutional Union Party in 1860. And here we get right up to the Civil War. We had an Unconditional Union Party. National Union Party, the Readjuster Party. That's when people still had bootstraps. The People's Party of Utah. There's our polyandry, our polygyny.
That's when you have sex with a bunch of Italian guys.
And oh, we had a pirate party in 2006.
Sure, you don't remember that? That was a bunch of Somali cab drivers.
That's right, in Pittsburgh. The two birds with one stone. And there's the Prohibition parties way back in the day.
Yeah, those chicks were no fun.
These apples are for left-handed people, right? It doesn't work for me. It knows my IBM loyalties. The Socialist Action Party. That sounds fun. Socialist Alternative. Socialist Equality. They're just taking the fun out of everything. Their uniforms are plaid. Uh-oh. In 2002, there was actually a registered United States Marijuana Party.
Yeah, dude.
Like, totally. They never got around to doing much. The United States Pacifist Party in 83.
They were opposed to Grenada.
Grenada.
That's a place in Lawrence.
Oh, that is.
I'm talking about the nutmeg capital of the universe.
We had your greenback parties after the Civil War. Anti-monopoly party. What do those people have against Parker Brothers? The Silver Party in 1892. Co-opted by the Koch brothers and the great-great-grandfather of Lamar Hunt. Ooh, the Home Rule Party of Hawaii. I would get behind that one.
Absolutely.
No Mas Gringos.
Especially if we could get the Home Rule Party of Hawaii and the American Marijuana Party just kind of together for one last time before things return to the islands.
Yep, and then you had the Communist League Party pre-World War II. Stalin ruined that for everybody. And McCarthy. Ooh, the Vegetarian Party in 1948 to 1964. I think I'm registered with them. The American Nazi Party was formed in 1959. Puerto Rican
Socialists.
They
were late, 1959?
Well, the U-boats aren't that fast. And they had to stop in Antarctica and Argentina first. Black Panther Party. I'll sign up for that right now.
Absolutely.
U.S. Labor, Concerned Citizens, New Alliance, that sounds creepy. The Populist Party, Looking Back Party. They bump their heads a lot. Oh, in 1992, somebody formed a new party. What's their name?
It had something to do with that new Coke.
The Natural Law Party. Veterans Party, Christian Freedom, please God. We can ban that one right now. Chinos.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because if we start creating all these third parties, we're going to have to come up with somebody to ban them.
Ooh, the Moderate Party of Illinois. Illinois.
Illinois, that's right.
Connecticut for Lieberman is the newest third party.
Connecticut for Lieberman.
From 1970 to 2012, there was a Raza Unida Party.
La Raza.
La Reconquistas, I'm sure.
The race.
Ooh. In 2006, there was a Florida Wig Party. Can you imagine wearing a powdered wig in Florida in 2006?
Well, I mean, yeah. I, actually can.
Like alligator floss.
All depends on what part of Florida you're in.
In 1966, there was a Spartacus party.
That would have been cool to go to their convention.
Only 300 were allowed in.
And everyone was Spartacus there.
Well, I guess we don't need the colors now.
Well, thank you for all that. And, you know, that's the hard part, though. If you start coming up with new parties, you have to figure out who's going to ban them. You know, you can't let all those parties exist, can you?
Not in the age of information.
You know what? I would like to start a party called the Gangster Party.
Ain't nothing but.
That'd be a lot of fun, don't you think?
Tupac is still alive. I bet we could get him out for the first nomination. Snoop Dogg is his VP. Ooh, that's a tricky question. Maybe the callers can call in between Tupac and Snoop Dogg in the Gangster Party. Who would be president and who would be vice?
I'm going to go with, I think Snoop's going to be president. Because he has...
He's Snoop Lion now, though. He might be in the marijuana party.
He might, actually. In the Compton marijuana party. All right, well, it's 31 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. We've laughed, we've cried. It's time for you to call 816-931-5534.
I cover this pretty heavily in the suicide since nobody's interested in polyandry parties. Or the Nazi Greens. Did you see the lady freak out on the floor of Congress about...
I saw the video of her doing it, but I couldn't really hear the stenographer talking about it. It was a Mason conspiracy, right?
That's the gist of what she was saying. But, of course, when I see that and then... you know, all the talking heads talk about, "Ooh, she must have just lost it. She must be crazy." There's obviously more to the story. She just didn't get up and start screaming about Freemasons. They actually dubbed in that audio after she was in the hallway to the elevator. Somebody had that video. As she, because she's talking with somebody else in the, what do they call the audience section in front of the podium?
The gallery.
The gallery. Her and another gentleman are talking in the gallery. She goes up to the podium, and they cut all the mics. The audio they dubbed in was once they got her in the hallway to the elevator. So whatever she said on the floor, nobody knows. This Freemason stuff, she was screaming in the hallway. So there's the newest conspiracy of what she actually said on the floor. It'll be exciting once that breaks.
Have you ever seen a stenographer in action?
Yeah,
I'm surprised they don't snap more often.
Right, they have three keys and they type up, 40,000 words out of those three combinations or something. It's incredible.
I'm surprised they don't snap more often. But no, I saw the video of her supposedly freaking out, but you couldn't hear anything. It was undecipherable.
They cut her mic as she approached the podium.
At least she figured it out finally.
Right. It took long enough.
Washington is an industry town. And that industry is Freemasonry.
Right. The architects of the New World.
Which we live in now, by the way.
Rectamundo.
We are right there, smack dab in the middle of it.
Speaking of New World disorder, I've had the pleasure to spend quite a bit of time in Overland Park this week.
Good for you, man.
Daylight hours. Once upon a time... In my college years, I lived in Overland Park, and it was very white bread crackerish.
Overland Park, Kansas was?
It was.
Really?
Now, this isn't for Leawood or the surrounding mansions, but Overland Park specifically.
Right there at 75th and Metcalf.
Is non-white majority now, and that's not a Mexican issue or a... south of the border issue, it is a cornucopia of everybody. It's astonishing how Russians, Slavics, Hindis, Middle Eastern, Asian, as well as, you know, south of the border. It's a very odd influx. And because I moved out to the Apple Ranch for, what was I gone, 6 years? In that six-year span, it's the demographics have changed radically. Have you been to Overland Park specific lately?
Have I?
Yeah.
You know, I try to limit my exposure.
Well, if we have any listeners in Overland Park that have been there for the last 7 years, let us know what's up. I mean, is that just all service industry people cleaning the houses in Leawood and bussing tables and working in the restaurants? And
well, so if Overland Park is now multicultural,
Cornucopia-ish.
Where do you go for just some good old-fashioned monoculture? Is it Lenexa?
Arrowhead Stadium?
Oh, Arrowhead Stadium. No, that's a very good point. Here we go. Now, somebody would like to talk about the multicultural nature of OPKS. And finally, we can talk to somebody on the phone. Thank God for that. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. Good morning. You're on the radio.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Jake.
What up?
What up, Drude?
Not much. I was going to say, it's speaking of New World Order stuff, it's still amazing how much you're trying to spin the euro, that it actually works, that it's not just a completely broken down piece of garbage. It just underscores. I mean, I try to explain to people, it's like, why do you think these people are so desperate to hold on to the euro, to want the euro to be a success? Because if the euro is a success, then hey, guess what? Why don't we merge our country together with Canada and Mexico, and that could be a success too? It's just very, to me, it seems clear as day. But I find myself having to argue with people, even my father, who seems to think the European Union is a good idea and viable, even though it has proven that it is a complete and utter failure.
Well, unless you're a central banker.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I don't know.
The euro was a complete and utter failure for maybe the people of Greece.
I'd say for everyone in that thing, because it's all starting to fall, the austerity measures and everything. It's like,
I think the Germans are good with it.
Oh, well, we all know why the Germans are good with it. They probably, not all the Germans, but probably enjoy this paternalistic, a revisiting of the paternalistic sense of their colonialization.
Ah, the fatherland.
The fatherland, like how they treated the Africans when they took over that land. They probably enjoy asserting the same type of control, some of them at least, on Europe. It wouldn't surprise me, at least.
Or just when they did that to Europe, there is that as well.
Well, yeah, we look over at
You know, nobody ever talks about the Amero anymore, and I guess that's what you're calling talking about the Amero, aren't
you? Yeah, it's. I mean, I think no one's talking about the Amero right now is because it's very difficult to. They're trying, but it's very difficult to spin the euro as anything but a failure. It's very difficult for them to look at any type of news and say it's not a failure. I mean, you know, we've got Greece, as you said, and you know, now we've got Italy and
no, the pig countries, they call them.
Yeah,
Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece.
All of them. All of these so-called anchors. And I'd argue, I think you probably would agree with me on this, it's another mirror for why globalization in an economic sense, and I would argue in a cultural sense as well, but they're kind of one and the same, aren't they, with what they're trying anyway, but it doesn't work. It just doesn't. You know, I mean, you can have trade between other countries, I'm not debating that. But you can't try to wire up every single system into each other. You know, for one, from the most rudimentary perspective, and I think I would think you might agree with me here, Jake. Fail safes, and in general, for a more rudimentary reason, people don't want to be merged into everything else in this sense. Under one government, there's multiple reasons: culture of each individual place, your where you come from being suffocated and destroyed, and replaced with another. I mean, honestly, the best way that works, this is my own opinion, I feel like I've come to this conclusion if we look at it honestly, is decentralization as much as possible in food, in green, and in all sorts of things. Now, it requires very much a micromanagement sense, but of each region.
But doesn't, well...
It would feed the world.
But Drew, well, and maybe so. But how do you go about doing that? It would seem like the only way you would get the centralization of everything. I mean, everything is, I mean, how much has, computer and internet technology contributed to the centralization of what we live in today? The centralization of globalization, with everybody in Jake's multicultural perspective on Overland Park hanging out at a globalized Walmart trading in slave labor goods. The only way to break the system up, because as governments and economic relationships get bigger and more organized and centralized, the more powerful they become as well, right? And the only way to then break that up would be through the destruction of it.
I see your point.
I mean, how else would you think?
I think there is something where we can hold on to a decentralized model of a computer system in addition. We can slowly but surely have these decentralized clusters, which don't work quite as this giant machine, as it were. Which would still serve the effect of educating people about people from other places, and would, I guess I want to say, very much kind of taper off this giant bureaucratic mess. The mess, I think we can use the term big bureaucracy.
Yeah.
The term that you and I both know why the Republicans don't want to use it, because they don't want to acknowledge that if you say big bureaucracy, then people connect the dots and realize that business and government's the problem.
Right, but I'm kind of the mindset that it would take a big asteroid to break up that centralized situation you're talking about, the economic and governmental situation. But, I mean, you can look at the euro and say that it doesn't work, but the euro has more value than the American dollar and has for over 10 years now.
Well, what did they say? What's one of the sayings now about Yellen, or one of the murmurs that I've heard is her opinion: keep running the machine, keep the money, keep the American dollar machine running.
Right. That's the only tool. I mean, you're talking about Janet Yellen, the nominee to be the Federal Reserve chairwoman. She would have only the only tool the Federal Reserve Bank has to fall back on,
I had heard her argument is just basically keep the presses running, or the
sure.
money presses running 24/7.
Right.
If there's any substantial truth to that allegation, as much as I'm sure it's a bit of a scare tactic, and we're running as much on propagandic hype as right now keeping the dollar afloat, this would make it even worse.
Well,
but
right.
Anyway.
It'll continue being what it is until China and any other country that has a whole bunch of our treasury notes decide they don't want them anymore. As long as they're convinced that they should hold on to them, mm-hmm. everything will continue on the way it is right now, which is quite amazing if you think about it.
Well, basically, it's running on fumes.
Drew, you take care.
Yeah.
You know what else I just thought of? All of our fabulous listeners that are not in the 816 or 913. If you want to tweet at us or Facebook us, go go find the others in both categories, could get possibly a poignant or relevant comment discussed. Go find the others on Twitter and Facebook. If you're outside the 816 or 913, but if you're inside it, 931 KKFI. That's 5534.
I guess we can return to the phones, 816-931-5534, 931 KKFI. You're on the radio.
Hey, guys, it's Big Dog.
Morning, Big Dog.
Good morning. What's up? Hey, quick question for you there, Ben. What if this Obamacare is trying to push through forced immunization on kids as well?
I mean, absolutely. That's a real concern. But, I mean, I'm deciding I'm going to face my fears on this Obamacare thing. And I was on Craigslist, and I just I applied to be a death panelist.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm hoping I'm going to get a job on a death panel. Sorry, Grandma. There's not enough left in the budget.
My son got some app for his phone to where you could create, well, you know, the series, The Walking Dead, so you can create zombies.
Sure. Everyone loves zombies.
The phone itself is that creation.
I'm going to be a zombie bank for Halloween.
Well, he made a pretty scary, goofy-looking one for me. And I had this, like, brain in my hands, and I was looked like I was eating it, right? And, underneath the caption was, death panel member, thank you, Obamacare. And I was chowing on a brain.
Sure, death panelist. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And then my mom, she saw it on the Facebook, and she said, that's inappropriate. So my son removed it because his grandma asked him to.
Wow, that's good of your son.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, well, what are you going to do when you get when they force a medical procedure on you?
And they force, about the only thing they're going to be able to force on me would probably be like a gastrointestinal bypass. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Removal of liver replaced with another one. That way I can keep drinking.
All right.
Of a lily liver? What's Foghorn Leghorn say? Is it lily liver?
Ah, Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah.
I'd say more.
Absolutely.
You said that like you watched some cartoons today, Big Dog.
Yeah, I'm not far from it.
He TV'd all the Saturday morning cartoons and watches them on Sunday.
Yeah, this you know how sometimes I call in with little articles. This one is from the Wall Street Journal. Shutdown raises a stink, but not the kind you think. Apparently, there was an outbreak of stink bugs in the during the government hiatus.
Yeah, that's a problem in the D.C. Virginia area. Go on YouTube and type stink bug infestation. Apparently, every now and again, that in that part of in them necks of the woods. Stink bugs go haywire from time to time.
Wow. Multiplicity. Interesting. But no, I was just kind of wondering, have you read anything on the forced immunizations on our children?
It's called public school.
Public school, yeah. There are viable reasons for not having your children immunized so they can still go to school.
Absolutely.
It'll be interesting from what I understand. You know, there might be rules in the state of Missouri for you having your child immunized if they are in school, but you can also get a religious exemption in the state of Missouri for that.
Yeah, and you were
and I would imagine that
about that about the what did you say the was it the Amorites or not the Amorites but
the Amish.
Didn't have to apply for Obamacare because of their religion.
Well, the Amish don't apply for it because they don't. They also don't participate within Social Security. And that's really what's being, I believe, determined. But, I mean, I would imagine that it'll be some... I mean, you're essentially asking government entities to communicate with each other to determine who's insured and who's not insured so they can penalize people who are not insured.
Well, they can't even get a doggone website to hold for people to register on.
Well,
and I heard non-documented immigrants do not have to sign up for it either.
Undocumented workers.
Yeah, they don't have
to.
Yeah. Those folks don't have to sign up for anything.
Well, imagine if an undocumented worker would sign up for something, then you'd have documentation on them. Uh-oh. Ouch. Well,
yeah, watch out.
Yeah, can you see where I'm going at with that comment? I'd have them sign up for it.
And then you got them. You got them in the system, man.
Yeah, they're in the system.
And then what do we do with them?
I don't know. But anyway, I just want to touch base and drop that stink bug on you.
All right. Very well, big dog. You take care.
All right. Take care. All right.
816-931-5534. 931-KKFI is the telephone number. Yeah, I want to be a death panelist. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Sure.
Seems like I kind of feel like I would do a lot of headbanging if I was a death panelist.
Well, yeah, I picture like the obsolete man version in Twilight Zone.
I would dress up like I was the bassist for Gwar if I was a death panelist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Would you use... Well, go ahead and introduce the caller. We'll talk about Gwar after this.
Good morning. You're on the radio.
Hey, Julian and Casey.
What's going on, Julian?
Hey, nothing much. I really like your show. I don't get to listen to it as much as I would like to. But whenever I'm on this ship and I'm listening to it, then I like to call
in.
I like what I'm hearing. It's great. And I love your suicides. They kick ass.
Thanks. I think I've got all last 2 or 3 months worth of Paragon archived in there, too. So if you miss one, go find the others. Hit the Paragon radio tab. I'm pretty sure I'm all caught up.
Nice. Yeah, I'm loving what y'all talking about today. It's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the Chiefs. Man, can you believe it?
Yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff. Don't we owe more money to Japan than we do China?
I'm pretty sure China's number one.
I think China's number one. Okay. I know we owe a lot to Japan as well.
But you know what? Japan doesn't have a military. It's kind of one of those arrangements we have with them after World War II. So, but we also owe a whole bunch of money to the Saudis, and this is in the form of treasury notes. And who else do we owe money to? We owe money to ourselves. I think we owe $5 trillion of the $17 trillion debt to the Federal Reserve Bank.
I just recently discovered, I know it's probably old knowledge, everybody knows it, but I just recently discovered that that's not even a federal thing. It's like a private thing. It's a private entity that controls everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're no more federal than Federal Express.
Well, and the argument is that Federal Express is regulated more by the government because they fly airplanes, and the FAA is more involved with the regulation of the FedEx than the Federal Reserve Bank is involved in the regulation of. I mean, you know, really what it provides is a buffer between the structure of power and the political power in this country. And, you know, the flip side of the Federal Reserve Bank being in charge of the monetary supply is that the United States Congress would be in charge of it. I mean, I'm not – it's a hard trade-off.
Right. Right, I don't know exactly who I would trust on top of that, you know? Kind of crazy. What if that guy, you know, shut down as well on top of everything else that happened?
But, well, you know, we should all enter into the Bitcoin economy. Do you know what Bitcoins are?
I don't.
I mean, it's literally a digital coin that you have to mine, you know, from where you can trade for them. Or you mine them. You use your computer as a mathematical excavator. That sound good? Yeah? All right.
Interesting. Sounds like Warcraft. One of those games that they all
Minecraft, right?
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll all be dipping into our Bitcoin wallets.
Right. Or credits or something like those future shows.
Because, you know, if people always take issue with the system the way it is, the way that it favors militarism and corporate corruption and greed and pollution and degradation of humanity and the environment. And really, if we want to change things, you know, if we're going to look at the Federal Reserve and go, that's the enabler for the federal government to spend the way it does and put money into projects and structures that are probably against humanity, we have to figure out a way to stop using the Federal Reserve's product, you know, which is the dollar bill. Boycott it, you know. And I mean, to boycott it is one thing. To do that realistically is another. To talk about it, it seems very simple. But to go about living your life where you do not use dollar bills, I mean, if you really want to affect some change, you really want to change the political process, et cetera, an alternative to the United States Federal Reserve note would be, I believe, probably one of the more productive ways to go about doing that, but also an extremely difficult prospect. But bitcoins, just dip into that Bitcoin wallet.
That is an interesting idea. The scary thing is, I think it's some of the problem is humanity itself. And I hate to sound like that. It's really pessimistic sounding, but it's almost like, you know, we found out from history that there's a lot of kinds of society that are great in the animal kingdom but don't work for humans, like communism just does not work, you know. For some reason, if you open up the nation's safes and vaults and you spread the money, you know, to everybody, for some reason everybody's poor. I don't know why that is. You know, of course, there's still some guy sitting on a crap load of money who's not supposed to be, but he still is. But for some reason, everybody ends up poor if you spread everything around almost evenly. And so that doesn't work. And then we got a bunch of other things that we found out don't work because people, you know, corruption is always everywhere, even here. But for some reason, capitalism, I mean, with all the flaws and problems it has, it's far from perfect, but it has got to be one of the best things that was created.
Well, and fair enough. I think you could probably make the same argument about the Constitution. But it's a matter of how you evolve with that. I think we're the point with capitalism, with the immense amount of wealth that's been created by the system we have. And we don't have a truly free market capitalist system. And we have a hybrid system that involves a lot of state control and seemingly socialistic aspects of our economy. But what we've created in this country is so much wealth that it really becomes a moral issue that anyone, because it becomes so inexpensive compared to the other thing, that anyone should have to be on the street or be hungry. I mean, it just seems like a base level of assistance for people should and could be available. But the problem then really becomes is that when somebody is given something as opposed to earning it, they treat it differently. So when people are given something, they don't give it the same respect as something that they earn. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
I mean, it's like if you give
a man fish, then he's got food for a day. But if you teach him to fish, he can have fish his whole life.
Well, there's certainly that. But it's like the kid, you know, I don't know if, you know, when you were younger and you first got a car, you know, your buddy or whatever, there was the kid whose family had like a little bit more money and they just bought him the nice car and he just didn't care about it because he didn't have to have a job to work for it. You know, he didn't, I mean, it just, so he, that kid destroyed that. And then.
The trumpets of revelations?
Nah, it sounded like a motorcycle.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying, though? And it's just the earning something is the way people take care of stuff. And having ownership over their life and you know, their communities around them is a way to benefit everything, I think. But, Julian, we appreciate you listening, man. We appreciate you calling.
Hey, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Take care. It's about 1 minute before the hour of two right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City. We'll continue on with the phone calls. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You are on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, hey. What's going on?
How you doing, Ben?
Pretty good.
My name's Jeremy. I was just calling about the your suggestion on getting rid of how to use the dollar bill and whatnot. Venus Project is something that I'm interested in and would like to bring more light to, if you know what that is, Dr. Jacques Fresco, Venus, Florida.
Yeah, that's tied in with the Zeitgeist trilogy, is it not?
Yeah, definitely.
Jake, you know more about the Venus Project than I do, I think.
Yeah, I like the...